Just the first look at Crater Lake, even if you've seen it many times, can take the breath away. It's easy to stand there with your jaw hanging down in awe at the formations of nature. Natural history is celebrated in music this weekend at Crater Lake. Friday and Saturday, the Brit Festival Orchestra, part of it anyway, leaves the grassy hillside in Jacksonville to perform with other groups at Crater Lake. They'll perform the world premiere of a work called, appropriately, Natural History. We have conductor and composer with us. Teddy Abrams is the Brit Music Director, and he's on the phone with us from someplace. Hi, Teddy.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
It's always good to have you here. Michael Gordon is the composer based in New York City, and he's composed a lot of other works, some of which we'll get a chance to hear in the moments ahead. Michael, thank you for joining us.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks a lot for having this conversation.
Sure. Teddy, tell us about how this all got started.
Well, we've been planning this now for what I think is about a year and a half, and it originally started with the idea that we wanted to do something to help celebrate the 100th anniversary of the National Park Service. And we wanted to think of something that perhaps would kind of transport and make people rethink the connection between arts and nature and do something that would really challenge and engage the orchestra and the Brit organization. And something that ended up being a really wild idea, but has been throughout this long process of making it actually happen, a very rewarding and actually a beautiful process. And of course, the concept is pretty crazy when you think about it, to take a full orchestra and what's turned out to be many more people, in fact. I mean, this force was approaching 200 people up to Crater Lake, and to create some kind of musical experience, which has turned out to be a world premiere composition that Michael has so beautifully written for us, that is organically growing out of this magnificent and extraordinary setting. That it is a real natural and somehow deeply connected piece to the nature itself, and to the setting itself. And so that's what actually has happened. And it's a pretty extraordinary and surreal feeling to think that all that work and planning is now going to translate into these concerts, which we're going to take place over the next couple of days, Friday and Saturday.
So, Teddy, to your knowledge and to the knowledge of the people you're working with at Crater Lake, had there been any sort of performance on this scale before at the edge of the crater?
Nowhere even close to this, in fact. And for good reason, you can imagine. I mean, our national parks are so spectacular and precious. Usually they avoid these kind of large-scale productions just out of preservation and out of concern for the ecology. And that was one of the reasons why we've taken such, a natural and organic approach to making this concert happen. This is not about transporting a huge stage with lighting rigs and amplification up to Crater Lake and just using it as a kind of backdrop. We actually wanted to create an experience. It was in some way growing out of the ground, out of the setting itself. And so this experience is really unlike a normal concert. It's much more of an installation. It's much more of an experience piece. So the way that you experience the music and the setting will be very different than one where you just go sit during a concert and observe a performance taking place. This is about kind of an organic connection between the setting, the audience, and the musicians. And it's not amplified. It's very much a surround sound piece of music, as I'm sure Michael will talk about. Musicians are, these giant forces of musicians are positioned all over the place and kind of surrounding the audience. And so this is, again, it's more of an installation and an experience than anything like a traditional concert.
We're talking about Natural History to be performed at Crater Lake Friday and Saturday by the Brit Festival Orchestra and a couple of other groups, too, that we'll detail in just a few moments. Teddy Abrams will be conducting them all. He is the Brit Festival's music director. Michael Gordon is the composer coming out from New York to set the piece upon the Brit Festival Orchestra. You can join us with questions and comments at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.com. Michael, how did the request first come to you, and what was your initial reaction?
Well, my first reaction was, "What is Crater Lake?" I had never been there, and this will be now the third trip there. But I had a great initial wow experience, and I went around the lake with Teddy, whom you just spoke with, and the superintendent of the park, the head ranger, Craig Ackerman, mm-hmm. and we looked at the entire lake and to find the spot to perform this piece of music.
Had you chosen the spot before you even began composing?
Yes. Yes, the first thing we did was go around the lake and find the spot.
Then what was the place you chose?
It's by the Watchman's Tower.
Mm-hmm.
And how the musicians will be placed, as Teddy said, they'll be all over the place. So the audience will be they're in for a surprise, I think.
Mm-hmm. Probably a few surprises from the music itself, too, obviously. I mean, Alex Ross described in The New Yorker as writing with the fury of punk rock, the nervous brilliance of free jazz, and the intransigence of classical modernism. How do you give the cocktail party description of what you do?
Well, I have been, I've spent a bunch of time this year at Crater Lake, and when I first started working on this piece, I realized, there's a symphony going on there without me and without us. The wind is blowing, the trees are falling, the snow is melting. There's a symphony of extreme quiet in the winter. It's so quiet, howling in the throughout the night, chirping throughout the day, frogs croaking. There's thunderstorms. So there's a symphony going on at Crater Lake, and when I started writing this piece, in a certain sense, I wanted to have the idea that all these musicians, Teddy Abrams and the Brit Festival Orchestra, they were all coming down to join this symphony that's going on, and so for 25 minutes there, we get the great opportunity of joining in on this symphony that's going on forever.
Teddy, what instructions, if any, did you give to Michael at the outset here? I mean, in terms of instrumentation or use of voices or not use of voices or any of that stuff?
Well, really, we wanted to, I think, let Michael's creativity run wild. And I remember that trip when we went around the entire perimeter of the lake. And it's the same kind of expression that everybody makes when they see it for the first time. I could just see on Michael's face, it happens to me each time I go back, because you forget just how big and spectacular this place is. And I think taking that concept of kind of that initial surprise and delight and just astonishment at what it is, I wanted Michael to really have free rein, aside from, bringing in, well, actually, a restriction that a normal conductor might put on, so they said, maybe don't bring in 20 extra brass players and 10 percussionists, but we were able to actually make that happen, which is one of the coolest parts of the piece. In addition to the Brit Orchestra, Michael has used these other groups of musicians that connect and kind of relate to the core Brit group throughout the work. So there are, in fact, 30 additional musicians, 10 high brass players, 10 low brass players, and 10 percussionists that are spread throughout the audience. And I mean, normally that would be a challenge to find, but we've been working on this again for a long time and wanted to make this a spectacular experience that matches the setting. And so it's turned into a full choral piece, too. There's a large choir. The Klamath Tribe has a percussion and vocal group that's performing with us. So it becomes this really kind of dynamic and interconnected work and a genuine collaboration. And that's amazing, because it's unlike any other experience.
The work is called Natural History, and it is not as if Michael Gordon has not written about natural elements before. So here's a composition we'll hear a little bit of called Water, performed at the Opera House in Copenhagen. So, Michael Gordon, hearing this and having just talked to you about your approach to listening to what nature gives you, I think I understand this piece a little better. You're really taking what nature starts with and trying to put it into something like musical form.
Well, it's it's a very inspiring spot. It was a volcano, and then it blew up, and it starts with a very violent, explosive natural occurrence. And afterwards, we come and interpret this occurrence, and we interpret what's left over as having great beauty or being a place of spirituality. And the place means something. It means something to the tribal people, and it meant something to the European settlers who came and first saw it. And it means something today to the tourists who just come by and take a look, and they're awestruck. So,
given that level of detail, this could have easily been a Wagnerian opera. did you have to edit yourself heavily?
Well, as Teddy said, it turned into something like that, because it's really they're going to be close to 200 musicians there with an orchestra, a chorus, the drum group from the Klamath tribe, and 30 brass and percussionists that will be spread all over the landscape. So it is kind of on a big scale.
Now, Teddy, I understand that these concerts on Friday and Saturday, there's no actual ticketing for the concerts themselves. You just have to get into the park itself and pay the park admission. Is that right?
That's exactly right. And one of the important parts about this was that as a celebration of a resource, Crater Lake, which belongs to everybody. I mean, it's national. It's something that is very much of the people. It's our collective land. It's a spectacular place. We wanted the concert to have the same ethos and to carry the same sense of sharing and openness that the Lake already has for people. And so that's why as soon as you're in the park, the national park, which I think is an extremely reasonable cost, it's just a vehicle cost, all the performances are completely free. That was an important part of this for everybody. This is an experience that we're really taking on as a kind of gift, as a musical gift to both the park itself and to all the visitors that come there. So, yes, that's been an important element.
Natural History at Crater Lake this weekend. Teddy Abrams is the Brit Festival's music director. Michael Gordon is the composer of Natural History. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Teddy, musical considerations aside for a moment, what logistical challenges did this present? I mean, you're talking about lugging 200 people up to the rim and scattering them around the landscape, it sounds like.
Yes, I cannot even attempt to describe how many things we've had to figure out, just because there is no model for this. There really isn't a model for any orchestra, and certainly not the Brit Orchestra, which always plays at its one venue, which is an amazing venue here on the Hill. Our own Brit Hill is such a special place. We don't really go away from it, but I suppose if there's any one place we would go to, it would be Crater Lake if we were to perform somewhere else. But the staff has been working through everything. You wouldn't believe how many details have come up, because neither the lake nor Brit has ever done anything like this before, and I'm pretty sure nobody else has either. And just the coordination between the various musicians, the orchestra, the brass and saxophone forces and choirs, and I mean that alone would be challenging enough to do a regular concert. But to get them into a national park with all of its restrictions and kind of peculiar regulations has been quite the challenge, and our staff has just done the most beautiful job of making this happen. And our musicians, we met for the first time last night, and they're so open and flexible and willing to take this on as a real adventure, and that's the spirit of it.
What kinds of plans do you have for the odd weather incident that certainly can happen at Crater Lake in any season? I mean, I remember going up to watch the meteor shower one year, and a thunderstorm moved in and covered up the sky, so these things do happen.
Yeah, I mean, it looks really great right now, but of course, part of this is it's outdoors. This is not a traditional concert experience, but that comes with the flexibility of the way we've configured this. And I would imagine if there was some kind of weather situation, we would just postpone the performance. We would do it a little bit later in the day, we're already doing multiple performances of the piece throughout the day, and musicians are also playing other smaller concerts in various places throughout the park during the day. So there's a lot of flexibility involved, but right now we're planning to do everything as scheduled, and knock on wood, it looks pretty good.
Michael Gordon, talk about the composing process, if you would, about putting Natural History together. Was it smooth as silk? Were there frustrations along the way? I mean, was it a pretty normal process?
Well, after the first visit to the lake and the first meeting with Teddy Abrams, you know, Teddy was incredible because we were standing at the rim and all of a sudden, you know, we started with the idea that it was an orchestra, and then we talked about, well, you know, maybe we can get a chorus. Well, maybe we can interact with the drum group from the Klamath Tribes. Well, maybe we can get the Southern Oregon University involved, and you know, slowly it just grew into this huge production. And all along the way, everyone at the Brit Festival was like, "Oh yeah, let's go for it, let's do this." So, you know, that kind of support is just a dream for a composer.
Wow, big stuff coming up this weekend. And you said you just gathered with the musicians for the first time last night, Teddy?
Yes, we rehearsed just the orchestra part of it, so the 40 or so Brit musicians that form a core group within this work, they met for the very first time when we tried it out. We happened to be inside under very controlled circumstances, but that's a good place, I think, to start with a world premiere. I mean, that's the other element of it, that in addition to all the awesome collaborative and setting components to this piece, it's still a world premiere composition that nobody has played or heard before. So from a musical standpoint, we want to make sure that, especially with all the variables that we know will take place, that we really have this under our fingers, that people know exactly what to listen for in the composition. Because when you play outside, especially with musicians spread out all over the place, figuring out where you are in a piece of music becomes a very different experience than the normal kind of sonic representation that you would have playing your part within an orchestra on a stage. So there are going to be challenges just about where to see the conductor, what exactly to listen to so that you know rhythmically where you're supposed to be playing. And so we wanted to get our bearings just by kind of putting it in a more controlled environment. But tonight we go up to the lake and we start putting it together with a lot of the collaborations, and it's going to be always going to be a trial run outside. So we'll see how that works, which is very, very exciting.
Boyd in Wolf Creek wants to know about performance times. I can see that at Friday it's 2 p.m. and 5 p.m., Saturday 11 a.m., 2 p.m. and 5 p.m. at the Watchman. He wants to know how soon in advance folks should show up. What's the recommendation you're getting from the Park Service?
Probably as early as you're able to make it. It could be a little wild out there. We don't really know. Unlike a normal concert with tickets or even just projections, you might have a good idea of who's coming. Even if you do a free concert, you probably have a pretty idea or image of what it's going to look like. We don't know what this is going to look like exactly, and that's a little bit scary, but it's also really exciting. For instance, 1,000 people could show up to the park not even knowing that there's a concert, in addition to all the people that do. Because, I mean, of course, there are folks that have been planning trips out for recreational purposes. I could certainly imagine some people that are camping out there that hear this music and think, what is going on? And, of course, then want to go see it. I mean, I actually hope that happens. That's part of that will be part of the spirit of discovery here. I think if you get there on the early side, you'll be happier because while I don't anticipate there being anything all that crazy, there could be a lot of people trying to hear this concert. I certainly expect it to be.
Well, exciting and groundbreaking stuff as the Brit Festival Orchestra and a choral group and the drum group from the Klamath Tribe and lots of other musicians, 200 in total, perform Natural History, composed by Michael Gordon at Crater Lake on both Friday and Saturday. Michael Gordon and Teddy Abrams, thank you for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange today.
Thanks so much.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
All right, take care.